Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, 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 everyone, and welcome to the Journey Home Outreach Ministries online radio station. I'm your presiding minister, Reverend Angela McCarty, Chicago-based poet known as Sister Poochie. And today is Halloween, and we actually have an open mic. Moshe, are you on the air?
I'm here in the flesh and spirit.
And the flesh and spirit, yes, it's Halloween, and we're going to have a living show today. How about that?
That sounds great. You know, let's live it up. Let's live it up.
Absolutely. You know, today's reading is about contributions. And everyone, I am love and action contributing to the well-being of others. And in John, 1 John 4:7, it says, "Beloved, let us love one another, because love is from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God." And everyone, I want everyone to marinate and think about that all week, because God is love. And when you display that, you're displaying how what we are, and that's children of God, you know, because we are love too, if we just show it.
Oh, most definitely. I come into essence like John chapter 8, verse 32. When Jesus says, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free."
That's right. The truth shall set you free. That's right. You know what? On top of all of that, I know I'm going to go and play Golden Thread by Kathleen Kendricks, because it talks about love and weaving us all together to be as one. Everyone, this is Golden Thread by Kathleen Kendricks.
Thank you.
Now, that's what it's all about, everyone. Wouldn't you agree, Moshe? Just Catherine Kendrick.
Feel the love. Feel the love.
In the room tonight. In the room tonight. Everybody, this is an open mic set that we're going to be doing today. So the call-in number is 347-838-9457 for all you poets out there, spoken word artists who want to be heard, because we're here for you. We're not going to play a whole lot of music. We're just going to get into some poetry and have the poets take over the air. What do you say?
Oh, yeah, most definitely. We want people to open themselves up and not feel limited. As you know, you go to some poetry spots or events and you feel that you only can come in a certain atmosphere with yourself, but here, you being yourself, but, you know, as always, you asking people not to be disrespectful or going out of the line of the show, but still, be yourself.
Absolutely. It's all God-given talent. And so if you be yourself and you stay in alignment with God, you can't do nothing but go wrong. I know I got a piece that I'm going to share. I want to take the mic first tonight. And right. You're listening to the Dirty Home Outreach Ministries online radio station. We're going to get a station, Moshe. Did you hear that?
And now I'm getting on to this. Okay.
You know, we are what we speak. We are what we speak. So online radio show, and we're going to start. This piece is called Solution by Sister Pucci. Solution. Pushing me closer to you. Lord, you're the only one I need to pull me through, so let my trials keep pushing. Pushing me closer to you. That's the only way I'll know what to do to right this wrong, the very thing that's putting me through, which only exists to keep me closer, closer to you. So let these trials keep pushing me closer to you, because, Lord, I know you're the only one who's going to see me through to right this wrong, the very thing that's putting me through. So, everyone, your trials are there to keep pushing you through. Peace.
Oh, yeah. Keep on pushing. Keep on moving and don't stop. I heard that.
Don't stop. Keep on moving. Hey, keep on. You remember that song? Okay. You gotta keep. So hey, you got a piece for us, Moshe?
Oh, I got one. It was just marinating my mind while you was going with that. This one is called "Who I Be." Who I be? They say I'm a problem child because they didn't understand me being, and they don't understand me now. I'm the golden child because I invented the language, the dance, the ideas, and being noble is in my blood. I'm the gold that backs the dollar. I'm the whistle that turns to a holler. I'm the world soldier. I'm the world soldier that gets no clout. I'm the wealth nobody told me about. She, I, and we can be if we just let ourselves be. Be the sun that, be the wind that rumbles the coastline. Be the sun that gives a devastating shine. Be the nature which is always unpredictable. Be the energy that feeds the soul. They didn't give it to me, so I have to give it to myself. Yes, it's we, to transform the old world to the new world you never knew, because this old world is soon to be through. Enjoy the ride. Because when more me come to be, we will align that new trinity. Who I be.
Jeez. I like that. Go ahead. That's deep. So what inspired that one?
Well, what inspired it, it goes back 3 years ago. I used to work at an alternative school up in Maywood. And the thing is, I came back to do volunteer courses with some of the children. Supposedly, the few children that was like the worstest of the school, but I was able to get them to be inclined to what I was talking about when it comes to poetry and just real talk and uplifting their minds on different things. And we had to come up with a poem for their assembly. And all the other children and the other classes had like weeks to go along with this, but we did it in a matter of hours. Of course, I've seen some of the children every now and then because they came to school every now and then. But in the hour proceeding to the assembly, we just started siphoning, got in a circle, siphoning, you know, each boy, well, there wasn't no women in that class, but girls in that class, but each individual had like two or three verses to run with, and it came together. They even put their own stuff before the poem, too. But
all
it was
right, that's cool.
Together, yeah.
That's pretty heavy. You know what? We're going to be interviewing Fundamental, everybody, and Fundamental is on the line with us now. Hold on for a second.
Right.
Fundamental, are you there? Fundamental?
This isn't Fundamental if you're talking to me.
Oh, I'm sorry. 216. I'm sorry. I thought I misread the call ID. State your name, please, and I apologize for that.
I go by the name of Paradox.
Okay.
I'm from Cleveland, but right now I'm in Chicago.
Oh, cool. What? How you enjoying Chicago? Is this your first time here?
It's cool. I've been here for a little bit. I haven't got a chance to hit any of the poetry spots here. I've been trying to find out more about the poetry scene here.
What's going on, though?
Well, hello?
What's that?
How you doing?
Oh,
hi,
right.
You're talking to Moshe.
Okay.
Go ahead, Moshe.
What side of town are you on, though?
I'm over here on, like, the shallow west side, like, not too far from the United Center.
Oh, okay. Every Tuesday night at the Touch of the Past, they do it in Bellwood, Jackson, and Manhattan Road.
Okay.
Yeah. But yeah, you can go on. Hey, I ain't wanting to interrupt. I just wondering what side of town you're on so I can give you a feed on where you can go, though.
Yeah, definitely. Also, add me. I'm in the chat room, Paradox in the chat room. And you can send me some information because, like I said, I've been trying to, I've been asking around about the poetry scene here. Some people gave me some information, but not all. I've talked to a few people. But also, I would like to do a piece if you guys don't mind or whatever.
We would be so blessed if you would bless us with one of your pieces. Go ahead. Everybody, ladies and gentlemen, I would like to introduce you, Paradox.
My name of this piece is called Love's Been Framed. It goes, it never hurts anyone. It's the lack thereof that causes all the pain. People think they find it but are mistaken. So it receives all the blame. They don't even know what it looks like, but they search frantically. Some people think they find it emotionally, some physically. Others romantically. It wants you as bad as you want it. But you pass it up to chase the dreams. Then you get mad and hated as you discover that what you found isn't what it seemed. It never mistreated you, so why do you resent it? Because someone uses identity when they said things never meant it. So now it's the suspect and it's up for trial. The jury declares it guilty when it's been innocent all the while. You see, the perpetrator was skillful and cunning when they planned the evidence. And no one's there to witness for it, so it has no defense. So it's locked away in prison no letters, no phone calls, or money on the books. It desires to be with you, not entrapped before the crooks. This is no place for it, but this is where it remains to be. Until you learn the truth about it and decide to set it free. Love's been framed.
Snap, 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 snap. That was beautiful. I love that.
Yeah, that was one of those thinking poems, just, you know, have you aware of what's really going on and showing that to figure it out, you really have to go through some things because it's a lot of stuff that's suppressed to you. You know, I got a poem basically expressed on what he was just talking about. Yeah.
Okay, so what was your inspiration for that poem?
Well, I started writing poetry about 3 years ago, and I was I got introduced to this one website where they were writing a lot of poems. It'd be love poems or so-called love poems, and they'd talk about heartbreak poems. And
right.
It would be like, you know, everyone's probably, love did this to me, love did that to me. And it would, I was like, this is my response to that. You know, love didn't do this to you. You know, it was people that you fell in love with.
Absolutely.
And don't associate love with heartbreak, because love is not heartbreak.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Speak it, brother. That's actually what the reading was all about today. I don't know if you caught it at the beginning of the show that said that we are love and God is love. So God doesn't hurt, and God is always good. So, you know, love is something that's always supposed to be celebrated.
Right. And now today it seems like, it seems like it's all kind of people who are writing and doing poetry and everything. And, you know, one of the things that people, you know, always ask, you know, is like, well, you know, how do I take my writing up to another level? How do I improve my writing? And people have a different approaches. You know, some people try to, you know, expand their vocabulary, which is a plus, I think. Some people, mm-hmm. you know, they try reading other writers, and that's helpful. But I think the most, the best way, the most effective way to improve your writing and your poetry, especially, but you have to elevate your mind. That's how you elevate your poetry. You have to elevate your mind. You have to strengthen that, and your poetry will naturally follow, as well as any, most other things that you do.
I got a question.
Okay.
What are you reading? I mean, it seems like you pretty informed on some stuff. What are you reading these days?
Well, I mean, I read a variety of different things. I've read a few books. I read information as far as, what's online. I read some of the current events that take place. A lot of times, sometimes I just spend time on, like, Facebook just reading, you know, people's statuses, and then, you know, you interact and comment on there or something. But I've read books like, you know, The Art of War. I've read Da Vinci Code. I've read the Bible, backwards and forwards. I grew up in Christianity. I've read some of the Quran. I've read, I read on subjects. I've read on, you know, business, psychology. Psychology, I think, is one of the key elements I incorporate into my writing, because everything, you know, whether you're performing on stage or whether you're writing, is communication. And,
absolutely.
You know, I try to use words that I know people will, or ideas that I know people could associate well, that's going to best allow me to get them to understand what point on my idea that I'm trying to translate to them. So psychology, I think, is the biggest key, understanding how people think and why do they think that way. And, you know,
the more you know
about that, the better you'll be able to form a strategy to get them to understand the idea that you're bringing to the table.
You're absolutely right about that. You know, I do a lot of my poetry from observing human behavior, human nature, you know, trying to write about the things that I see or I can feel or sense from people that they're going through, you know, and you're going through them too, maybe at a different level, but I definitely think that human interaction and getting to understand and love one another and understand one another really helps people with their writing, besides, you know, reading and expanding your mind and expanding your horizon so you can understand the diversity that's in the world today. Are you still there?
Yeah. You hear me?
Oh, yeah, I hear you now. Go ahead.
Yeah. I said, I think that's one of the things that's lacking the most amongst people in our society, or just people, period, is our ability to relate to one another. We're not relating, and, you know, and what we're doing instead is we're judging. And, you know, and it's like, you know, a lot of these issues, you know, for example, you see these athletes or, you know, these other celebrities that come under fire for certain situations and things of that sort. And people very, very, it seems like people just don't take into consideration, well, Dad, what would I do if I was in that situation?
Right.
You know, instead, everyone sits on a judgment seat pointing down, saying what they should and shouldn't do, how messed up that is, what should happen to them, and all these different things. It's just like, well, is it what you would want to happen to you in this situation? What's the shoe was under the foot? You know, what outcome
Absolutely.
Would you want? You would want the benefit of the doubt, so why aren't you willing to give it?
Mm-hmm. And, you know, and this is it's a Christian show, and I have to remind the listeners out there that, you know, one of the things that the Bible tells us not to do is to judge. Jesus said to take the plank out of your eye before you try to take the splinter out of somebody else's eye. So it's very easy to, you know, stand outside of a situation and gives the woulda speech. You know, if you woulda did this, if you shoulda did this, or you couldn't have done that. So I think it's very important that we kind of learn how to curve that when we're dealing with people, and allow them to be and express themselves as freely as we would want to someone to allow us to express ourselves. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Well, yeah, I think a lot of it has to do, too. Part of the reason why we know we can't relate to one another is because a lot of us don't know ourselves. I think the more you know about yourself, the more that you can relate to other people, you know,
right.
If you start to see, you know, yourself in other people. And, you know, I think a lot of, we tend to dehumanize, you know, other people or people that we perceive as being a different group than we are.
Right. You're so true about that.
What he was talking about with that, it's just like Michael Jackson's song, Man in the Mirror. It's like, how can you just put yourself out there like you're doing something if you're not looking at what you're doing? It's just like you said, learn from what you're doing. And just like you said with psychology and what you was reading, I mean, a great start when it comes to psychology is books by Carl Jung, if you heard of him, you know, Carl Jung, J-U-N-G, and Gerald Massey, going just behind some stuff like that and where we come from and where we destined to go. So, I mean, it's all great what you're expounding on. People have to look towards self and not something outside of themselves.
Right. Well, you know, it's just like, for example, one of the things, you know, the people made the biggest argument about, you know, as of late, you know, one of the recent things is Obama and when he got the Nobel Peace Prize. And, you know, people all, you know, crying about, well, you know, whether or not he deserves it or not. And, you know, it's like, well, it's not really our job to decide whether or not he deserves the Nobel Peace Prize. The people whose job it is, they decided that he did. So that's what happens. Now, if you want, you know, to make a decision on whether or not he should get it or something, you need to start your own committee, come up with your own award, and you can give it according to whatever standard you set.
Exactly. And, you know, sometimes things are divinely given, and people can't see the supernatural part of what he has done, and he actually did bring the world together. Because if you have this many people saying, you know, following and believing in the same person, you know he is bringing us all together, because it's all together on a common note. You know what I'm saying? Not that he's any higher or lower than anyone else, but he's able to bring harmony wherever he goes, and I think that's a quality that is, that does bring peace. That is peace, you know.
Right. Well, you know, I mean, you know, a lot of people have a lot of different opinions of Obama. You know, from what I've seen, you know, I mean, I don't have a problem with him, or, you know, as a person, I don't really know that much about him since I never had a personal conversation with him. But you know,
yeah,
it just seems
absolutely.
It just seems to me that you know, it's too much time worrying about scrutinizing a person. You know, we spent as much time as we did scrutinizing other people into ourselves. As a matter of fact, even raising our own kids. there would be less problems. You know, we want to sit there and blame the role models and things, but yet, you know, it's up to you to raise your children, and you should have
absolutely.
The most influence. You're the first thing that they see in their everyday example that they see every day. And if you're not being an example of what they should be, on a variety of levels, or you're not opening those lines of communication, I mean, to blame others is frivolous.
It's negative energy. It gets you absolutely nowhere. Do you agree, Mache? You're still there?
Most definitely. Like I said in one of my points, in so many ways, there's no future for children if the parents don't give it to them. And if the parents are not aware of certain stuff, what can they actually give to the children? That's one of the main reasons that children rebel against adults, and in a type of way that it's hard for them to really express in a certain way, because they're not being taught. They're being put into a propaganda, like, this is what you're supposed to do in this, and there's something inside of them, like, you know, there's something wrong with this picture, it got to be something else. Yeah, so it's up to the parents to, you know, to present it for the children. So they, you know, it's just like it says in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, study to show thyself approved. So if you study for yourself or study yourself, then you can enlighten and uplift others, but other than that, you're still living in the past of things.
True that. All right, Paradox, you have another piece for us? All right.
You got to keep a few in the chamber, you know.
Yeah, we got to keep them going. We told them we were going to be poetry, but we've been talking, but that's okay. You know, we could just go ahead and go around the round table. Moshe, you got another piece up?
Well, I got one right now. Since we on the love, I got this one called Devotion Over Misery.
Okay, Moshe, you're going to go. Paradox will be next, and then I'm going to be next on the mic. How's that, guys?
Okay.
All right,
Moshe, you have the floor.
The moment I met you, I knew it was true. True to the support and understanding of me. Maybe these words are means to destiny. You and me are the hurdles of misery. Who said love was lost? We'll make them see that all we go through, we stay strong. That key entity that make this love last long. Maybe they know no better. We can make it through the weather. Take my hand, because I'm a part of you, and you're a part of me. Oh, destiny. It fills me up and goes deep to know that you show passion in that everlasting glow. So Presley, eventually, the special entity, say, let me give you me. See, I travel the world for that special girl. Now that I found her, I know my life's complete. She takes me away because I'm her king to be. See, I travel the world for that special girl. Now that I found her, I know my life's complete. She takes me away because I'm her king to be. Oh, you know, I am that I am. And that is to be your only man. The one that supports and guides you through the madness. Yes, society isn't kind, but we can prove the best. In our love together, seeing the sun through any weather. Ah, sounds so good on my tongue. Baby, this progression is halfway won. The other half is our patience, patient time. This relationship will age in the dirt like sweet red wine. Baby, there's nothing to prove to you. The bullshit comes through and through. Baby, you are my life. You are my destiny. You are what I ever dreamed to see. And what's next will definitely be meant to be. See, I traveled the world for that special girl. Now that I found her, I know my life's complete. She takes me in well because I'm her king to be. Devotion of a Misery.
All right. Snap. I'll do the snap. Snap. Nice. I like that. Okay. Are you ready? You ready, Paradox?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Okay.
The name of this,
every leg.
What were you saying?
No, I'm sorry I interrupted you. Go ahead.
The name of this piece is called Insecurity Guard. It goes, lights are flashing. Red alert. Red alert. Red alert. You know what? Ouch, my ears hurt by this annoyingly loud alarm sound. Triggered by who, what, where, when, why, and how. Man, what is it now? The alarm continues to shriek. This has got to be like the third time this week. This system is super sensitive. It could be set off by the slightest creak. I'm scanning through the monitors trying to see if the cameras picked up something. Is there a real threat, or is it just upset for nothing? The system has been known to go off for no apparent reason. It doesn't matter the time of the day, the time of the month, or the time of the season. I remember one winter, I was stuck in the cold, freezing, shaking, shivering, and wheezing. I was having trouble breathing. I couldn't believe this. The system had just locked me out. I tried to enter my code, but it completely blocked me out. The things that be going on don't be making any sense. The alarm still gets triggered by past events. I was talking to the janitor about it one day. He was telling me how the system wasn't always this way. I asked him what happened, and this is what he had to say. It all goes back to the days before you were hired. The men that had the position before you wasn't doing what was required. They did great damage to the system before they finally got fired. These guys were liars, let the system neglect it, unprotected, what I did, whatever they desired. Especially this one guy in particular. He really abused the job. The very thing he was supposed to help secure, he contributed to it getting robbed. He manipulated, confused, and misconstrued the entire mainframe. Left the system humiliated. And the others must have been affiliated because they also did the same thing. They left a huge void as they destroyed the entire defense. After then, even with the new men, the system hadn't been the same since. Due to the previous harm, it's darn near impossible to disarm. The whole system overreacts. Anything causes a panic, resulting in automatic false alarm. So now, it requires extreme attention, so you have to act with precision and caution and care. Despite all the repairs, some of the damage is still there. It's just something you have to deal with, even though I know it ain't fair. You see, the system isn't just thin art, it's the female's heart. And the previous men were the ones who tore it apart. Even me to tend to it, as it been abused, misused, marred, and emotionally scarred. Man, it's hard being an insecurity guard.
Hmm. Commendable. Snap, snap.
Yes,
Wow.
Do you want to stop? About it.
Yeah, it makes you stop and really think about it. And, you know, I got to give you both, and I know I'm supposed to be going next, but I got to give you both your kudos for the poetry that you're writing in honor of women. And I think that was both of your pieces that you did really touched on that. So I think that's what stopped me. I was like, Now that's nice. You know, it's nice to hear, and it's nice to see and let everybody else see out there that there are men out there with the hearts that we're looking for. You know what I'm saying?
Right, most definitely. It's pretty interesting when you grow up and there's family gatherings, you have the men that be like in the front room, like talking to sports, politics, or whatever, and the women be in the kitchen. So the boys would be with them and the girls be in the back. But sometimes it's that boy that stay in between and try to listen on both ends and stuff. And they're the ones that's able to cross certain hurdles that have that certain spark within themselves to share something like this, because Not any average man today can do that, because they're still struggling with the chauvinism of the world anyway.
So it's kind of funny. That's one of the things it was brought to my attention. I think it was a few weeks ago, and I was wondering, you know, why, you know, at what point will, you know, males and females stop being at war with one another, where it's just like, you know, it's like a war, it's perceived war, you know, the men blame the problem on the women, and the women blame the problem on the men. It's just like, you know, when are we going to just sort of try to work in cooperation with one another? Because, I mean, that's the way, you know, we were designed to work in cooperation. I don't think we were designed to constantly, you know, be in this turmoil.
No.
You know, but, you know, it's funny how, you know, no matter what form of division or, you know, that we have, or what kind of, whatever form of unity people are trying to accomplish, it always involves some form of division. You can't accomplish unity by division. It's just not going to work.
No, it's absolutely impossible on every level to do that. You know, Christ, you know, I'm a Christian, and Christ is peace, but he can't work in conflict. You know, and we have to open ourselves up to the love and open ourselves up to just really stopping the nonsense, stopping looking for fault, looking to change people, looking to, you know, take baggage that you get from somewhere else and reflect it on somebody, you know, the next person that you're with. And that's a lot of times, I think, is what's happening. People get so hurt that they forget how to love themselves. And it starts with self.
Well, you know, I don't think there's a way that you can forget how to love yourself. I just, you know, I think a lot of times these people never did. And, you know, the problem is that they always sought love from outside sources. So, you know, and when these outside sources disappoint them, it tends to have more of a sting to it. You know, they're constantly chasing something that's always, you know, they can always find within themselves.
That's true. Well, that brought a poem up for me. I'd maybe change my piece, and this is going to be short, everybody, but this is called Paradise. Paradise. A state of mind for you and me requiring no amenities, no special occasion to make our day, no special benefits to make our way. All it takes is you and me to create a paradise where we simply be. I make them short. And to the point where I was going to go, and we had to go right here, Paradox.
I was saying, there's nothing wrong with that.
We were talking last show that sometimes when we were getting out writing tips for people, that a lot of times your poems are finished. Some people write long poems. Some people write short pieces. But a lot of times your short pieces are that short because there's nothing else to say.
Right.
Absolutely. All right. Anybody else want to bless the mic?
Yeah, go ahead. But before I go ahead, when we talk about women, I mean, it's plenty text that predates the modern stuff when it comes to women. For all the texts, I can go with the Women's Encyclopedia of Sacred Text by Bobby G. Walker. I can go with Manly P. Hall's Secret Destiny of America. I can go with other authors, Hilton Hall team with Jared Massey, and Madame Blavatsky of the Secret Doctrine. What they all say in their text that come from ancient texts is that when you attack the woman, you attack a nation. You attack the culture of the people. You attack the civilization, the civilized manners or morals of the individual, the people. So the thing is, what I've been seeing in my research since the 60s, with the integration, I mean, it was looked at as a great thing to black people. But with the integration, we see more of the mother getting away from her role in a household of bringing up the children. Because most of the time, through the test of time, men was never there most of the time with the children. It was always the mother. When you take the mother more and more away from the children, what do you raise up? In that type of, that's why I said, mothers have to be aware. They got to be aware of what's going on with them, because if the woman suppressed and knowing what's going on and what's going on to her, then it would be always physical chaos among the people in the community, and mainly, you know, black people. Well, you know, that's the very nature that's been going on, and you know, people can just look it up for themselves, because what I talk about is getting away from the opinions, because everybody have opinions, but not many people want to state the facts and the truth and bring it to the forefront. So other than that, you know, I'm getting into the heat of it. Let me just go with this piece that basically look at the state of the world, and I use it in this metaphor, which is called stupid music. Y'all ready?
Yeah.
Oh. Yes. Ready when you are.
All right. I was rolling down the street, listening to the stupid music rolling down the street. Listening to the stupid music rolling down the street. Listening to the stupid music rolling, rolling, rolling. Listen, listen, listen. Every day I hear people on the stupid music. Every day I see people on the stupid music bragging what he got, bossing who she be. I tell these stupid music, it's tearing up our family, begging for more pay. That's the stupid music. See you down in your own people. That's a stupid music. See, he coming down on D's. That's a stupid music. See, she got a pile of purse. That's a stupid music. See, you playing that lottery. You chasing dream. You want a lavish life. You chasing dream. You want reparations. You chasing dream. You want them to stop it. Stop chasing dream. Oprah Winfrey. She ain't think about you. Hillary Clinton. She ain't thinking about you, Jesse Jackson. He keep playing with you, George W. Bush. He keep lying to you, rolling down the street. Listen to the stupid music rolling down the street. Listen to the stupid music rolling down the street. Listen to the stupid music rolling, rolling, rolling. Listen, listen, listen. Every day I hear people on this stupid music. Every day I see people on this stupid music bragging what he got, bossing who she be. I tell you, stupid music, it's tearing up our family. Hurricane Ike, they ain't coming for you. Want a good job, they ain't studying you. War on terror, they keep studying you. After smoke clears, they definitely coming for you. Disrespecting sisters, there's how you kill the family down there. All the brothers, there's how you kill the family. Sister over the brothers, there's how you kill the family. Wife of the boys, there won't be no family. Sean Charles, you are not the father. Larry Rick, you are not the father. John Tyrone, you are not the father. Hey, she don't care. Let the lame be the father. Rolling down the street, listen to the stupid music rolling down the street. Listen to the stupid music rolling down the street. Listen to the stupid music rolling, rolling, rolling. Listen, listen, listen. Won't you stop? Listen to the stupid music. Won't you stop? Listen to the stupid music. Won't you stop? Listen to the stupid music rolling, rolling, rolling. Listen, listen, listen. We need to stop. Listen to this conscious music. We need to stop. Listen to this conscious music. We need to stop. Listen to this conscious music rolling, rolling, rolling. Listen, listen, listen. Stupid music.
I like that. Take yourself to a more conscious level, everybody. Put yourself on a more conscious level. Paradox, you have another one.
Sure.
Sure, okay.
This is one I've titled From Imagination to Realization. It goes, loud cries of pain, bellows and sighs are heard from where the lowest valleys abide to the greatest mountain highs. Our own creations, figments of our imagination, has been the choice weapon in inciting our demise, taking the form of belief systems, governing and value systems, as well as other configuration of lies. Instead of the source of the agony, it's one another we've grown to despise. Desolation, oppression, and torment take dominion worldwide. The soul of the people wishing to be separate but equal is destroyed and left void, but inside of their chest, stress and unrest abides. How long will we be held captive by our own designs? Voices of despair everywhere now declare that now is the time. But the revolution will not be televised because it will be comprised of enlightenment and the opening of eyes, not of uprise.
Deep.
Yes, yeah.
Great. Yes. What inspired that?
I was reading someone else's piece, and they were talking about, you know, they wrote a piece on imagination. It was called Mr. Imagination. And we're just talking, you know, and it got me to thinking about, you know, some of the things, you know, how a lot of times, you know, the enemy of humanity is an enemy that doesn't even exist. But these created abstract ideas that we have set, and, you know, and it's like, you know, it's abstract prison that, you know, we confine ourselves in, and, you know, instead of these are our oppressors, we blame one another for oppressing us. And, you know, there was a lot of resentment, you know, it's got a constant war amongst each other. You know, everyone had to walk around, had their guard up, walk around, people thinking, worried about haters and who's trying to get, you know, like somebody's out to get them, and it's just a me against the world mentality. It's just like, you know, the main thing that's hurting you is not other people, but it's yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's just, you know, so, you know, to me, voicing those ideas, and a lot of my stuff, you know, it's kind of funny. It just flows out. Like, a lot of my stuff I write in, like, you know, 1 or 2 minutes. It's just like a constant flow.
Right.
I get an idea, and I can just flow with it. And, you know, and that was the result of that.
Well, you definitely have a God-given talent. I've enjoyed all your pieces. You know, if somebody wants to get in contact with you, do you have, like, a email or a MySpace page?
Yeah, I had left the email in the chat room. It's paradox@poeticprodigies.com. Poetic Prodigies is a site that I'm developing for people who are writers or artists, and they want to be able to promote themselves, where they can establish a presence. And, you know, I'm going to have a lot of resources for them. So Poetic Prodigies is PoeticProdigies. You can find me at Poetic Prodigies no matter where you go, whether it's Yahoo. My screen name is Poetic Prodigies, AIM, Poetic Prodigies, MSN, Poetic Prodigies, @PoeticProdigies.com. You can find me on MySpace and Facebook @PoeticProdigies, as well as Twitter as well. And, you know, pretty much any other social media. I try to keep everything consistent. So that, you know, it's easier to find me if I'm on that venue.
That's great. That's great. And Moshe, I want you to give out the information for people visiting Chicago again.
Okay. You can reach me. You know, I have an email that's mvgtr9@gmail.com. Or you can go to my MySpace music page, which is Night Damon, which is NITEDAEMON @MySpace.com. That's Night Damon, MySpace.com.
Okay, and you can always reach the ministry or Sister Poochie at www.sisterpoochie.com. That's SISTAPOOCHIE. If you want to contact me or contact the ministries, the poets took over the mic today. We have 10 minutes left of the show, and I definitely have to get to the dance break because that's the routine that we do. And I want to thank you both for making this such a blessed show. I've enjoyed myself immensely.
My honor. It's my honor.
Yeah, man, thank you. I'm looking forward to collaborating with you guys. Especially since you guys are here in Chicago.
Absolutely. And you know, now that I have your email address, whenever I get information of things that are going on, and Moshe usually is the one that helps me with that, right, Moshe?
Well,
I'll definitely see
you, and you know, it works. It goes round and round, and also visit I can't get the words out of my mouth, but I know what I'm talking about. But I make sure to look at his Facebook to find out stuff and give him stuff.
Okay. Yeah,
but,
absolutely.
Also, I do also have a blog talk show as well, also / Poetic Prodigies. And I haven't done it in a while because said, we've been working on some things. We're looking at starting it back
okay.
on Monday. We're looking at the time at about 9 o'clock.
9 o'clock on Mondays?
Yeah. Well, I guess it would be more so 8 o'clock in Central, 9 o'clock Eastern.
Okay. Okay. So what kind of show will it be?
Well, it'll be one where we have, you know, conscious discussions, and, you know, and also we'll have different segments where people can also do poetry as well. But the original purpose why I came up with the show, I did a couple of years ago when I had the group Poetic Prodigies on another website. And, you know, the thing about it is you read a lot of people's pieces, and, you know, and, but you never get the experience. You know, you want to experience the poet behind the poetry. This is an opportunity there to have discussions with with people, you know, outside of writing, and you know, see where their mindset is and what their ideas were, you know, and see what their personality is like.
Oh, absolutely! That sounds like a wonderful show, and I want everybody that's listening out there to definitely check out these websites that we're giving you and the people who come on the show. I believe in supporting the people who support you and making sure the love goes all the way around, because we all have our own little resources in our head. And, you know, I think it's just a shame when we keep it to ourselves and we don't share it with others. It's all about loving each other and sharing with each other as well.
Right.
Right. True that. All right, if you want to hang around for the dance break, you can hang around for the dance break. We're going to do a dance break because there's so much love in the room. We're going to do a dance break called Deeper Love, and I want to thank you two. We're probably going to go out on the music. Thank you once again. You guys have a blessed week, and again, thank you for blessing the Journey Home Outreach Ministry with your presence today.
Same to you.
All right, everybody, this is the dance break. You know how we do it, www.sisterpoochie.com. This is Deeper Love. If it cuts off this week, you know I will pick it up next week. You're listening to the Journey Home Outreach Radio Show, www.sisterpoochie.com.
lot of beat, la da da. A lot of beat, a lot of da. A lot of beat, la da da. A lot of beat, a lot of da. A lot of beat, la da da. A lot of beat, a lot of da. A lot of beat, la da da. A lot of beat, a lot of da. A lot of beat, la da da. 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 La da da.